I'd like to talk to you today a little bit about unchangeable God. As I was meditating on what the Lord would have me to share with you today, I felt something that stirred up within me was the fact this question came, have we taken Jesus out of the equation? Now, just think about that a minute, because Jesus has to be at the forefront, because he's the one that came to save, to redeem us, and to set us free. But so many times what we do is we don't recognize his authority nor his presence in our lives. So have we taken Jesus out of the equation? I was reminded of this time that Smith Wigglesworth went and visited with six pastors, a vicar who was on his deathbed. And as he went to visit, they went in and they prayed and they walked out. Well, the vicar thought he was going to get up and was going to be healed. By all means, Smith Wigglesworth was there. They walked out of the house and they turned around and they looked and they said, hey, let's try this again. Something's wrong. So they walked back to the vicar's bed. They stood by his bed and he says, Smith Wigglesworth said, here's what we need to do. We need to quietly say the name of Jesus. And he said, as they began to say, Jesus. Jesus. I wrote on my pad this morning, I tell you that when you begin to say the name of Jesus, all of a sudden, the atmosphere begins to change. So when you're faced with trials and temptations, if you will speak the name of Jesus rather than trying to do it yourself. And many times, here's what happens too, is that instead of calling on the name of Jesus, we get on the telephone, we make an appointment with the doctor, and we say, well, what are you going to do for me? When I tell you that Jesus, the great physician, is in the house and he's able to take care of those things. So as they begin to speak the name of Jesus, 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 all of a sudden, the atmosphere for that vicar changed. Now understand, now he's not the focus anymore. It's not him that's sick, but it's Jesus that has the answer. Because when we say, poor me or poor him, and we're trying to get the solution ourselves rather than looking to the source maker who is Jesus, then all of a sudden the atmosphere changed, and as a result of that, the vicar began to move, sat up on the edge of his bed, and then walked out of the house with them. It's the name of Jesus that has all the authority, all the power that we need. Today I tell you that in 2017, if this year is going to be a year of breakthrough, there are some things that we need to individually begin to do. First thing we need to do is we need to bring Jesus to the forefront. We need to bring the Word of God to the forefront. We need to bring prayer to the forefront. Not that we don't have a good prayer ministry in the house, but what we've done is many times we push Jesus on the shelf. We've taken the Word of God and maybe we read it. Maybe we apply it. But if Jesus saved us and set us free, the Word of God is powerful and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will pierce between the soul and the spirit and make way for the Father to do His work. But so many times what we've done, we said, well, that's probably of no value. We need to know Jesus and the Father like we've never known Him before. You see, if I never talked to Marge in 43 years, I would never know her. But so many times what we do is we ask the Lord to come into our heart and save us, change our life, but I don't want to know anything else about you. Statistics say, Gallup poll says that Christians pray and spend time in religious activities about 2 hours a month. If we want to see change in our lives, we've got to go and know Jesus. We got to know who He is, what He is about, and what He's going to do in our life. If it's going to be a breakthrough year, we've got to invite Jesus now to come. Get some of your friends away from that table that's been sitting around your table. Invite Jesus Himself to come and sit at your table and let's commune. Hebrews 13, 7 and 8 says this, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say that? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One thing I'll tell you about Jesus, and I'll tell you many. He never changes. You understand that He's not good to you today and bad to you tomorrow. I can tell you some things about people in the church here and businesses and other places. Sometimes you don't know what they're going to do. All of us have family like that. You don't know when you call them what's going to happen sometimes. But you see, Jesus is not like that. Every time you call upon Him, He's the same. You see, He's a God that won't heal you today and say, sorry about that, you'll be sick tomorrow. If He heals yesterday, and if He heals today, He's going to heal tomorrow. Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't want to stay sick, do you? Because Jesus is the healer. He is the source of our healing. The Word says that He sent His Word and it made them sick. He sent His word and it healed them. And one translation says it healed them from all of their diseases, not just some of them. So if you're sick and in the house today, I tell you that Jesus Christ is a healer for you in your life. Doesn't matter where you've come from or where you're going to, He is a healer today, yesterday, and forever. Jesus Christ, it says, He is the anointed one. He is the same as He was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see Him healing and delivering people at every turn, everywhere He went, and helped the alone and hurting. He was always moved with compassion. The people of His time didn't have to struggle to persuade them to help. They asked, He answered. The best part of it is that He never said no. Praise God. Over the last 2,000 years, religion and tradition, a man has taught us that Jesus has changed. Your connection to Jesus may be different than people who encountered Him through the ages, but even your friends and your neighbors today have ways that they connect to Jesus. You see, God said, He's my son. Joseph and Mary said, He's our son and the son of God. The blind man said, He's my healer. The possessed man said, He's my deliverer. Peter said, He's my rescuer. Lazarus said, He is the resurrection and the life. The Christian said, He's our Savior. The church says, He's our soon coming King. Hallelujah. There are some that have even declared that they don't have a perception of God or know what He looks like, much like this kindergarten child. The kindergarten teacher was observing her classroom of children while they drew pictures. Occasionally, she would walk around the room to see each child's work. "What are you drawing?" she asked one little girl who was working diligently on her desk. The girl replied, "I'm drawing God." The teacher paused and said, "But no one knows what God looks like." The little girl replied, "They will in a minute." But you know, we know what God looks like because as we read the scriptures, it tells us about His nature. It tells us about His character. We know what some people have said about God is not true. That Jesus was saying no to some who needed healing or His touch. Religion has taught us erroneously that the days of miracles has passed away. I have good news for you today. The days of miracles are not past. Jesus is the same as He's always been. I declare to you today, He is an unchangeable God. He doesn't change for you. He doesn't change for me, and He doesn't change for the rules and regulations of government. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is ever-present and willing God, as we will surrender to Him. So saying that the days of miracles is past, that is simply not true. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? If you know Jesus in this house, guess what? You are a miracle. So for you to say the miracle days are over, look at yourself. Look how he's changed you. Boy, that was a miracle for God to change me. You may be able to say that too. I don't know. But the fact is, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And guess what? He's not done yet. Hallelujah. Listen, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the word declares that he's the Messiah King. He's the servant, deliverer, and God in the flesh. Acts, the Spirit who dwells in his people. Romans, the power of God unto salvation. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he is our conqueror and a down payment on what is to come. What is? Galatians, he is our inheritance. Ephesians, he is our peace at the right hand of the Father. Philippians, he is the God that supplies all of our needs. Colossians, he holds the supreme position in all things. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he is our comfort and our returning King. 1st and 2nd Timothy, he is our crown of righteousness and Christ our helper. Titus, he is our hope. Philemon, he is a friend and a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hebrews, he is our high priest. James, he is the great physician. 1st and 2nd Peter, he is our hope and suffering and restorer of all things. 1st and 2nd John, he is our love and light, Christ in the flesh. 3rd John, he is our prosperity, health, and peace. Jude, Jesus is the Lord coming victorious. Revelation, Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he is coming again. And the one who makes all things new. Hallelujah. Let's give him a clap. Proverbs 18:10 says this. The name of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Acts 1:8-11 says, and you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you will be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when they had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, and as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in the like manner as you have seen him go. Too many times we become stargazers, looking to heaven, never moving or doing anything. The same Jesus that went away is going to come again, just like he went. It's going to be in your face and personal. There's going to be no doubt that he went away, and there's going to be no doubt that he came again. He's the same. He's just as easily moved now as he was then. He is just as quick to heal today as he was then. He is truly the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God for that. Even in this room, we can testify of the healing and the power and the miracles of God in our lives. Because at the name of Jesus, we've seen heart conditions that have gone away. At the name of Jesus, we've seen back conditions that have been healed. At the name of Jesus, we've seen cancer that has bowed at the name of Jesus. And it doesn't matter what you're facing in your own life, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know that this is a simple message. We should receive it as little children. You see, but most of us don't. Here's what we start doing. We start rationalizing about things. I can assure you today, it doesn't matter how small or how big that your trial or test is, or how big your situation is, or how small it is. God is really bigger than all that stuff. Did you hear me? God is bigger than all that stuff. Now, if you don't have any stuff in your life, raise your hands. It looks like all of us have stuff. But he's greater than all of that. But you may say, my situation is too difficult. You have no idea the stuff that I have to go through. I tell you this, you have no idea the stuff that I have to go through. Or pastors have to go through. Because we're all in the same boat together. But Jesus Christ is the same. You have no idea how tough my boss is at work. You have no idea how tough my boss is. He's the greatest boss in the whole world. And you may be saying, there's no way out for me. Because if you're looking at your own strength, your own power, and your own ability, yes, there's no way out. But when you look to the source of Jesus, whoa, there is a way out. Because when you call upon His name, even as we talked about, just whispering His name brings a change in the atmosphere. It brings a change into your circumstances. The things that surround you that you thought, it was difficult, there's no way out of this. When and behind you, He is saying, I am with you all the way. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, even to the end of the world. You see, many times we listen to the lie of the devil. Is there anything too hard for God? I'd say no. I don't know but one thing that God can do. Got really quiet then. The only thing that God cannot do is fail. He will never fail till the end of the time. He will never fail you in your circumstance. He will never fail you with the disease that you carry. Because if He doesn't heal you where you are, He'll carry you all the way through it with His grace to enable you to come on through it to the other side victoriously. But Pastor Atticus, Jesus is not here anymore. He's in heaven. Yes, that's true. But Jesus, He's still ministering on earth today. He ministers to us through each other. He ministers to us through His Word. He ministers to us through His Word that He speaks to our heart. That becomes Rhema Word that causes us to turn around and move in a different direction. But that's why we are the body. It's so that we can be His ministers on the earth, carrying forth His purposes. Can we start today by saying, God is on my side and He is for me? Say it to your neighbor.
God is on my side, and He is for me. You see, He said in Matthew 28:20, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The Holy Ghost power of Acts is still here in our midst. Thank God that the same anointing that was on Jesus is on believers today. We don't have to wait to get to heaven. We can start right now and right here. The power of God is available to minister to you and your family today. Luke 4:18-19, I want us to read that together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Downtrodden means beat up, depressed, and no way out. That's the word that Jesus read. But I would say to you today that there is a greater application than that, because Jesus said, greater works will you do than I do, because I ascend to the Father. And when He ascended to the Father, it would be like He passed the baton on to us. He's not going to run down here every time there needs to be something done and ministry needs to be done and take care of it. He's got His body. Because He has now anointed us to do those works. I assure you that the pastors all across this great nation, and wherever they might be, and in this house, we cannot take care of all of you and all of those out there. That's why you're in the body. You're reaching out and touching people that we can never. So that's why the anointing was not only on Jesus, but is on you. He has anointed you for His purpose, to take care of the kingdom. This is kingdom business. And that's what we have to be about, is the kingdom thing. See, if you're blind, if you're oppressed by sickness, if you're depressed and bondage to drugs, alcohol, or simply beaten down by the cares of the world, Jesus is here to deliver you. Today is my day. Listen, I say, today is your day. Say that aloud. Today is my day. Say it to your neighbor and believe it. Today is my day. There is a way out. Acts 10:38 declares, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The key is not doing it in your power. Because it says, and God was with him. I was in the middle of the Apache Indian Reservation doing an evangelistic crusade. I was there when the service started, and most people don't know, but on the Indian Reservation, their testimony time is about 2 hours long. So anybody that's Apache that walks in is able to give testimony for 2 hours. So I asked the pastor, I said, what time do I have to be there? He said, well, we'll get you up around 8 o'clock. So they started about 5. Well, I decided I was going to be there at 5. Well, the pastor showed up around 7:45. Now, in the midst of all this, I'm sitting in the back and listening to the testimonies and songs and worshiping in scriptures. And all of a sudden, there came, this lady came in and grabbed me. Why did they grab me? I have no idea. My daughter is bleeding. Now, outside of the chapel, they have playground where everybody runs around, rocks of all kind, hard dirt. She fell down, hit her head here. And there was a gash about 4 inches long on the top of her head. And when I walked up in front of her, blood was running down her face. You could hardly see her face. Down onto her dress that was all white, but now it's red and white. And they said, I don't know what to do. I tell you that the closest hospital is 30 miles away. And in the Apache Indian Reservation, signals don't work very well. I assure you that night I had no signal. I only had one. And the signal I had was to Jesus. And I said, Jesus, I know that you are the healer for her. In the name of Jesus, I command this blood to stop and to dry up in Jesus' name. Almost immediately, the blood flow stopped. Now, we went through the service, and we got out about 11:30 that night. And the mother came up, and she says, I'm out of work. I can't work. I'm limping. My leg is bad. Could you please pray for me before you preach? I said, no. You come, you sit under the word. Then we'll pray for you. I assure you, God touched that child and healed her. And by the end of that night, before we left, the scab on her head was beginning. It was beginning to seal in a scab on her head, and you could see the formation of the scab already. The mother, God touched her, healed her leg. She couldn't even walk across the room without limping on two legs. At the end of that service, she was running across the front. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see in Mark 1:21-27. But I just say the mandate is for us to begin to do what God called us to do. If you receive Jesus into your heart and into your life, the fact is, God is with you. And He will be with you in everywhere you go and all that you do. Mark 1:21-27 showed us that there was a person that was demon-possessed. And he came, and he was delivered. Jesus went to the synagogue and taught. He cast out an unclean spirit. He went on and he ministered. Everywhere he went, demons were being cast out, and people were being set free. It is just as easy today to receive from Jesus as it ever was. It says, go to Him in faith with your heart open and speak it with your mouth, and He's able to do whatever you ask Him to do. Now, I want to assure you today that what I'm saying is not name it and claim it. It's not that. But as you tap into the source of Jesus, He is a sovereign God that can turn your life around and your circumstances that you have no idea about. And He'll make things right and different for you. Jesus said to blind Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" You can say that's just one incident where Jesus came on the scene and healed him. I would say it's the power of Jesus that came on the scene, touched the blind man, and he was healed. Or the centurion, he had a sick servant, and he said, "Lord, all you've got to do, send your word, and my servant will be whole." And Jesus says, "I've never seen such great faith as that. Send your word." I tell you, he has sent his word for us. I could tell you about Jairus, who fell at the feet of Jesus and besought him greatly, saying, "My little girl is at the point of death." She was made whole. There's an old song that we sing around here sometimes, "I need thee every hour. Lord, how I need you." You see, Jesus' own disciples didn't recognize him for who he was. Sometimes we don't recognize Jesus for who he is. Sometimes we don't recognize the authority and the anointing that has been placed on him to help us in all of our circumstances. Sometimes we don't recognize and take for granted the authority that God's placed in this house. You are greatly protected many times because of the prayers of the leaders of this house standing in the gap for you and your circumstances. Acts 3, we see it gives the account of Peter and John as they went to pray. Song we used to sing is that they met a lame man along the way. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Many of the miracles that Jesus performed were an interruption to his schedule. "Well, I'll set a time on the calendar and you can come in. I don't have time for you right now." Well, you understand that Jesus didn't have a calendar. As he came, he met the needs as they were in his face. Because he wasn't a Jesus that said no. He was a Jesus that said yes. He saw this man on the way as they went to pray that had a desperate need. He had been crippled from birth. He had been reduced to begging from others. But most of all, he needed to know Christ's forgiveness. I don't know where you're at today. Perhaps you have more trouble than you can handle or deserve. Perhaps you or those in your family need a touch by this same Jesus who is unchangeable. This same Jesus, the anointed one, the same yesterday, today, and forever, wants to remove your burdens and destroy your yokes, kick out the devils that oppress you. He wants to bless you and bring you to abounding favor in the Lord. That was his ministry 2,000 years ago. It's still his ministry to us today. That is what he does every day. Even when you're sleeping and you're hurting and you've taken pain pills and all that, I assure you that he's still at work in your life. He's still the same healing God yesterday, today, and forever. Bob Mumford tells the story about the first time he had ever gone out to pray. The Lord told him to pray for somebody for healing. The first thing was in his path was a mule. He prayed for the mule, and the mule died. He said, well, I guess God didn't call me to do that. But if you'll be consistent at what God calls you to do, He will work through you. I believe that we're in a season in 2017 where the light orders of our lives need to be purified. Many times we're wanting God to do things in our life when we've got junk and stuff in our life that doesn't need to be there. And until we start to get rid of that junk in our life, God will not be able to move through us as He wants to heal, touch, and deliver. But I affirm to you today that Jesus' name is wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is the Mighty God. His name is the Everlasting Father. His name is the Prince of Peace. Today I declare to you that there is salvation in His name. There is freedom in His name. There is victory in His name. There is healing in His name. I would like for you to just say this as we're closing. Can we stand together? Lord, what will you do for me today? You see, it may be that your purpose has been challenged. Your destiny has been blocked. You may need forgiveness of sin. You may need just a fresh release in your life for God to send you on your path to your destiny. I assure you today that He can restore you to newness of life like nobody else can. We've tried to do it our own way. I assure you it doesn't work. Because Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to open the altar to you.